The award-winning A Black Executive Perspective podcast presents BEP Live. Hosted by Chris P. Reed and Tony Tidbett, where uncomfortable conversations take center stage. So, let's go there. What uncomfortable conversation are we having tonight?
All right, let's get to it. All right, we're coming to you live every Tuesday, like we do about this time, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, 5 Pacific. Welcome to BEP Live on A Black Executive Perspective. I'm your host, Chris P. Reed.
And I'm Tony Tidbett, and we're here to cut through the noise, get straight to what matters: power, politics, culture, leadership, and the moments that shape our lives right now. No filters, no safe tapes, just honest dialogue and accountability. So, my brother, what's on the menu for tonight?
You know what? Tonight we're going to discuss something that millions of Americans feel but may be afraid to admit. You know, their people are tired. They're not lazy. They're not entitled. They're tired. They're tired of working full time and still struggling. They're tired of degrees that don't guarantee anything, let alone stability. And they're tired of being told they're doing fine while groceries, insurance, housing, basic peace of mind is keeping you, you know, getting more expensive as the day goes by. For decades, we're told, go to school, work hard, keep your head down, stay out of trouble, and eventually life will stabilize. It'll all come together. And so the question we have now is, you know, that formula isn't feeling like it's true anymore. Did the American dream simply disappear? You know what I mean? So tonight we're going to talk about that and engage in that and see if we can figure out what has happened and why have things gotten to the point where we don't feel like we're able or we are to live the American dream any longer.
Yeah, buddy. I mean, you use the word disappear. So I got my own thoughts, so we'll wait. Before I dive into my thoughts.
All right, cool. Well, here's the moment where for all the future sponsors, you could be highlighted, and, you know, talked about here, you know, so make sure you reach us because as we keep growing, there's greater opportunity for you to get your name out there. Recommend you get us before we get too high on our horse and too full of ourselves. So let's get into it this evening. So as we talked about, Tone, you know, I think that when you talk to a lot of people, or, I'm sorry, at least in my circle, and it seems like on television, let's put it like this, television and social media, people feel like they're fine. It's a haves and a have-not situation. And if you ask people, they feel like they're more on the have-not side of it. And so in the concept of, is that what we're supposed to feel, or is that what we were thinking, what we would expect of ourselves as we got to this point, I would say a lot of people had a different idea from when they were growing up or when they were graduating from wherever as to where they are now. And why is that? Why are we so off? What was going on with the algorithm, basically, in that regard? And I love to talk about it.
Yeah, buddy. I mean, here's the thing. You know, for the last 25 years, we've accelerated. And when I say accelerated, I'm not just talking about we accelerated from a technology standpoint. We accelerated in terms of all the things that we do when I say technology. So even even the way we live at home, I mean, let's be fair though, right? You have, you know, Alexa, and you got all these things that can be able to do the things for you, turn the lights on, do this, do that. You have a computer in your pocket that can give you all different type of information. Now you have AI that can help you be more efficient and all that type stuff. We've accelerated in the last 25 years. The challenge is that the wages haven't accelerated, right? And that's right. The issue. So when you say the American dream disappeared, I don't want to say it disappeared. It's not affordable, right? It's still the idea of a family and a dog and vacation and retirement. Those things are still real, right? Those things that people still aspire to, right? But at the end of the day, it's not attainable because from a wage standpoint, we haven't accelerated, which you got a couple of clips. We're going to play those clips and people will see the clips. Mm-hmm. We haven't accelerated from an income standpoint. And what I mean by that, are there more billionaires than it was 20 years ago? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Are there more millionaires? Absolutely. Right. Mm-hmm. But when I say accelerated, think about it for a second. 1950, if your parents gave you a dollar, could you do something with that dollar?
Right.
Okay.
Right,
1960, right. If your parents gave you a dollar, could you do something with that dollar?
Right, right.
Right. 1970, if your parents gave you a dollar, that's when I was a kid, right? Could you do something with that dollar?
Right, right.
You could do a lot with it, right?
Absolutely.
1980, maybe not the dollar, right? But $2, $5. Okay, so it didn't go up to $30.
Right,
a dollar
right.
didn't go up. So maybe it's $2, maybe it's $3.
Right.
Maybe, matter of fact, yeah. It was within that range.
Right.
Okay. 1990 was a dollar. Maybe not. 2000? If you gave your kids a dollar and they're 10, 12 years old, you're kidding me.
Right. Right.
Okay.
Right.
$20, right? If you had $20 in 1970, you could buy, you know, you a bunch of groceries.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So you see my point here. My point is that the wages haven't kept up, and inflation has limited the value of the dollar or the $5 or the $20. $100 today is $20 20 years ago.
Right.
Okay? So think about that for a second. $100 today is $20, equivalent to $20. 10, 15, 20 years ago. So that's the issue. It's not affordable, okay? And it's not because people ain't working hard. It's mm-hmm. not because they not idealistic. It's mm-hmm. not because, you know, they become sour. It's because mm-hmm. it's not affordable, because mm-hmm. everything has accelerated except the wages and the amount of money, the value of a dollar is not the same.
You know what? I was thinking back when you were saying that, I was thinking about cost of a stamp, a postage stamp. I know this is, you're talking about Dayton. Postage stamp, 30 cents or 35 cents or whatever it was. You know what I mean? And then it just kind of took off. Now, gas has always been a situation where it'll creep up on you incrementally or whatever. But now I have no idea how much a book of stamps cost. But I know that you could go buy a pack of cigarettes for $1.19. And now cigarettes is $134 one cigarette. You know what I mean?
It's a carton of cigarettes is $100. All right, think about that.
It's just, that's
okay?
crazy.
When I was a kid, my mother was a big smoker, right? So we used mm-hmm. to go to, you know, she used to force us to go to the store to get her cigarettes. Mm-hmm. And this is the other thing. You could buy cigarettes when you were 8, 9, 10 years old. Today, your ass can't do that, right? But we used to go to the store to get my mother's cigarettes. They were a dollar, maybe. Yeah. Maybe $1.50.
Yep, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Somewhere absolutely. Around there, right? A carton of cigarettes absolutely. Was like $5.
Yep.
Maybe $10,
yep.
right?
Yep.
Maybe it was $10. Yep. When I went in the Army, all right, a carton of cigarettes, $15, $20. Okay, right. Just so people know, what is that, 10 packs of cigarettes? Is a carton 10 packs, 15 packs, something like that,
it's
right?
It's 20. I think it's 20 packs. I think it's 20 packs.
Is it 20 packs? Okay.
Yeah, I think it's 20
so
packs
it was,
in the cart, yeah.
It was like $20 for a carton of cigarettes.
Right, right.
Right. Now it's $100.
Yeah, yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's insane. That's insane. Okay? $100. Now, look, I'm not a smoker, and I know a lot of people stop smoking and this and that, but $100 for a car, something that used to be $10, $20, right?
Yeah.
And it's just amazing, man. That so you think about that.
Right.
So that if we did the math, if it was $20 for a carton, now it's 100, maybe 120 to your point, right?
Yeah.
So that's five times.
Yeah. Yeah. Easy.
Five, six times.
Easy.
Did your wages go up five, six times?
No, not at all.
Exactly.
Not at all. Not at all.
Right? Exactly. Okay. And so when that happens, when everything accelerates, but the American workers' wages doesn't. And let's be fair. In some areas, like, you know, I was a kid, minimum wage was $2, $2.50, some shit like that, right? Mm. Some states now is $15, $17.
Okay.
That still is like $2.50.
Right, right.
Right? Because that's of good, everything right. else have gone up. So you couldn't live. Think about it, man. A person that was young could be a waiter or waitress making $2.50 an hour plus tips, and they can right. they could afford an apartment. Could right. you do that today?
Not at all.
Not at all.
Not at all.
Not at, so the American dream is it hasn't disappeared. It's unaffordable.
See, I think that if it's my response to that is, if it's the American dreams, it should be for every American. And if it's not for everyone, then we can't just call it like the Cowboys is America's team. But don't nobody like the Cowboys except the stupid Cowboys fans, right? So the concept of if that's something that each person has an opportunity to grasp at, right, and an opportunity to attain, then that makes it, to me, the traditional quintessential American dream. The fact that so many people are removed from the equation altogether, and like you said, stuff is going up. People at the top are still getting paid. Matter of fact, these salaries, if you look time over time, they're exorbitantly higher. So where we're getting 2-3% a year, they getting multi-million dollar bonuses. I remember one year, man, I was at the company, and the CEO made a big mistake and tricked off some money and said, well, this year he'll not take his $29 million bonus, you know, as a my bad. It's like, bonus? That's bonus, Tony. Like, so once again, the have and the have-nots. But when we talk about basic things, and that's what you were talking about. I remember back when I was first driving, you can go inside. First of all, credit cards wasn't what they were. Credit makes a totally different thing because it's outside of your mind. You don't really think you spend it like that. Interest rates on credit cards, Tony. Interest rates, you can get a credit card, 3-6% interest rate. It's like 25% interest rate now on a credit card.
More than that, like 30%, 30%.
You can walk in there and say, put 5 on pump 7 and be good. They would laugh you out the gas station if you were still going in gas stations.
They don't even tickle the tank. $5, that's a gallon. That's 1 gallon.
That's one
Your
gallon.
Ain't going far. You ain't going home. Your ass. Right. You going from your one lawnmower. Light to the next light.
All that right? ain't even your lawnmower. That, you can't even put that. It in your lawnmower no. for that.
$5 so. Is 1 gallon of gas.
Absolutely. All right?
Where Absolutely. It used to be a half tank. Maybe fill up back in the day. Right? It's amazing, man. And so 100%. That's the issue. But you, going back to your point, though, you were saying that, and you make a great point. I agree with you on this. And so we're saying the same thing, but you're saying it in a different way.
Okay.
It is the have and the have-nots.
Yes.
It's accelerated for the rich.
Yes.
The uber rich. Like I said, we got yes. more billionaires than ever.
Yep. Yep.
Right? Matter of fact, think about it for a second. Let's just be fair. Mm-hmm. Back in the day, when somebody was a billionaire, you know, J. Paul Getty and you know,
right.
whoever, right. you know, these elusive type persons that you're like, who in the hell is J. Paul Getty and shit? Right. Now, Dr. Dre is a billionaire.
Right. you know what I'm saying?
Right. Jay-Z is a billionaire. Everybody, right. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, right. think about that. They're all right. billionaires.
Right.
Okay? They're all billionaires. Right? So you got more people that are billionaires. Then mm-hmm. you have people making $100,000 a year.
Correct. Correct.
Okay?
Correct.
And so, correct. And you can't even live on $100,000 a year. Not comfortable. Nope. You can't.
Not comfortable.
To your point, to the American dream standard, it That's ain't right. happen.
It's the you basics. Can't,
you can't. It's the basics, right? Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, rent now. So think about it. Let's just do the math, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'll keep it conservative. Let's. Mm-hmm. We know it's more than that. But let's say rent. You're paying rent $3,000 a month.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. 3 times 12 is what?
36.
So that's 36,000 net.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Net.
Mm-hmm.
Net. If you mm-hmm. make $100,000, that's gross. Mm-hmm. Okay? So minus taxes, what are you taking home?
Yeah, that's third, and it's a third of your end. That's
so
a third.
You're taking home 66, 65, yeah. right about. Yeah. So half your more than half your money is going to the rent.
Just to live there. That ain't a light ain't came on. That ain't a got toilet
the
light, ain't flush.
They ain't got the cable. They ain't got the food. They ain't got gas to get to work. They ain't got clothes. They ain't got nothing. That's more than half your money is going to the rent.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're making six figures. That makes no sense to me.
Yeah,
that
makes it crazy,
that, buddy. That's insane. Think of if you just do the math, right? Yeah. Think about it. So then you got to fill up. All right, let's say you live your job is like 10 miles away, So your ass is paying, and look, let's be conservative. You ain't got a BMW, none. You just got a regular car, so you're paying regular gas, right? It's $4 a gallon. Your car take, you know, 15, 20 gallons, right? That's $80, all right? And you got to fill up once a week. So right there is what, $360 times 12, right, is $4,000. So add that to the rent. So now that's $40,000 out of your 66 you got left over. That's just gas to go to work and to fucking rent the place. All right, buddy, you upside down.
Absolutely. Don't turn on the AC. Don't turn on the heat, because that's just more
AC. So let's say air condition. I mean, your electric bill is $300-$400.
Absolutely.
All right. So that's $3,000.
The monopoly.
That's another $3,000.
The monopoly, because you got to pay it.
You got to pay it. So that's another $3,000. All right. A year. Okay. Just add it up. All right. Let's say you'll say you're a vegetarian. You only eat $100 worth a week. Right. That's $400 a month, all right? Yeah. Times 12, that's another $5,000. So add that up. Don't think about going out somewhere and shit. You can forget about that. You can't even do that, right? So you upside down, you make $100,000. You got to live with your parents. You know, you got to live with, you got to have a roommate, somebody to share the cost.
Absolutely.
Don't think about trying to go somewhere and trying to, you know, I want to go on vacation. What? Are you kidding? You ain't going nowhere. Yo, that's where they came up with staycations.
Right?
Your ass staying home. You know what I'm saying? You going down to your neighbor's pool. You hopping in that. And you can't bring him or her no drinks or nothing, because your ass can't afford it. Right? It's really bad, man.
So, and I'm looking at Oberyn Bill said, define the American dream. Our economy wasn't designed for everyone to win. So the reality of it is, though, FDR came up with the New Deal, right? 40s. And it was designed for, that's when welfare and other things came into place. And it was to even the playing field a little more, you know, years after the Great Depression. And maybe everyone wasn't winning, but nobody was dying over it, right? It was a situation where it really leveled some things out. What I believe has happened is the economy was designed, but it has been redesigned since then. We talked about this earlier where you were saying the rich got richer and the margins increased. I remember Enron and when pensions and the Ponzi, like it was so, like you said, people was just trying to put something away to have something to nibble on when they got older. And then, you know, the fat cats got greedier and just started making it a situation where you became hesitant to even trust in where your money was going to put yourself in a good situation.
Yeah, but let's be fair. Let's go back to Brill's point, right? Okay. Because I disagree with him, right?
Okay.
So, and when we talk about when, what do we mean by when, right? Mm-hmm. Was everybody meant to be millionaires? No, right? But everybody was meant to live comfortable,
right?
So when we talk about the American, and you will play the clips, and when we talk about the American dream, we're not talking about people becoming millionaires. We're talking about people being able to afford to buy a house, okay? And have a couple kids, a dog, go on vacation once or twice a year, and save for retirement. That was the American dream. That ain't about millionaires. That's not everybody, you know, becoming rich. It's just about you be living a certain standard of life, right? And then that's what we talk about the American dream. You wasn't in poverty. You wasn't rich, but at the end of the day, you were letting it be because your financial power was your house. See, that's the part people don't forget. See, this is the thing about it. You learn this shit. When you're a kid, you don't understand it. But when you play Monopoly, you learn this shit.
Right.
When your ass owned property, you got something. Okay? Yep. You got a financial base. Okay, flat out. Now, obviously, if your ass living in some places where the house only worth $6,000, then, but still, it's better than nothing, right? You have a financial base. So that was the American dream, the ability for people to buy their own homes and live in their own homes and then be able to parlay that into something else or leave it to your family or whatever the case may be.
Yeah. And I see here that Reggie, hey, what's going on, Reggie Reg? He said the New Deal didn't have civil rights factored in the 1940s. I understand that it wasn't implicitly designed with us in mind, with black folks in mind, but some of the sentiments of the New Deal absolutely helped the American. Once again, it was an American situation.
So go ahead, buddy. Finish your thought.
Yeah. No, so when that was put together, it was because we had came out of such a significant struggle post-war. It was a situation where the New Deal had to put us back in an even playing field because people was literally starving. Like, people was literally destitute.
But to be fair, though, to be fair, the New Deal wasn't the American dream. The New Deal was what, because at the end of the day, people didn't get rich off the New Deal. People
That's
didn't
correct.
Become comfortable off the New Deal. The
That's
New
correct.
Deal was just saying, hey, hard times come. The government's got your back. See, here's the thing. Most people don't know this, right? But at the end of the day, prior to the New Deal, the government didn't do shit for your ass.
Nothing.
That's a flat. That's flat out. Your ass was on your own, okay?
Yep.
So even if a tidal wave came in, a hurricane, or an earthquake, 1919 earthquake, wiped out San Francisco, right? The government didn't come in and say, hey, we got you.
No,
we're going to build it.
No, there
was none of that. You were on your own.
Yep.
You were on your own. So the New Deal was more of the government becoming a safety net and doing Social Security and all those type things. But nobody got rich off. That was an American dream, right?
Right.
So let me give you an example, though, Reg. Because I'm going to speak to Reg on this, right? Mm-hmm. And this is a prime example. I grew up in Detroit, Michigan, right? Mm-hmm. And so what happened, they call it the Great Migration. What was the Great Migration?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Chris?
Coming up from the South.
The South coming, going to where?
Go to the North, to the North.
To the North for what?
Chicago and Detroit.
And Detroit for what? For the factory jobs and
factories,
shit like that, right?
Those
people working at GM and Ford and Chrysler for those factory jobs, they were able to buy houses. They were able to go on vacation. They were able to get, you know, save money and add a pension. That was they were able to participate in the American dream. That's what we're talking about, right?
Same
they
with
didn't
the steel
become
workers.
Rich, huh?
Same with the steel workers and the cookie cutter neighborhoods and all of that.
Exactly.
Union. That's when the unions was on
were
the rise.
Built. The unions. That's how you were able to get with the major American dream. Okay, you were able to afford a house and buy a house.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
You were able to save some money and go on vacation. You know how many people I grew up in Detroit who fathers and mothers worked at GM and Chrysler and all that type of stuff. And then they would be able to get a new ride because they worked there and they were making big money. I mean, what we call big money, right?
Big money, exactly.
But they owned their own homes and they were going on vacation and this and that. And they had money to, you know, do their own thing, frivolous money to do their own thing, right? They were participating in the American dream. Right?
Yep.
So they didn't become rich or they didn't become any of that, but they were able to get their own financial base squared away. And then those homes, they were either live them to their kids or sell them, whatever the case may be. That was the American dream. You make a good point. Iron workers, the coal miners, those people, right?
Yep.
All
yep.
those people were able to participate in the American dream because shit was affordable and the money that they were making. They were able to buy homes and be able to take care of the families.
And it was steady bread, too. I mean, because think about it. We'll jump into this a little bit later. But the concept of you work somewhere, that's where you worked. If you did your job and you worked hard, you worked there. So you had a steady income coming in. They wasn't mass layoffs and all this other stuff that's going on where you don't know. You got to put money in a coffee can in the backyard because you never know what they're going to do down at the plant. You know,
correct.
It was one of those type of situations. So, but when we talk about the basics, when we talk about, you know, like you said, there's a difference between the haves and the have-nots in the American dream. But the basics of just the opportunity to live in this country and gain something for the sweat of your brow. Play the first clip about the cost of somewhere to live.
The cost of housing in every decade. In the 1900s, the average home cost $5,000 and rent was just $12 a month. By the 1910s, homes were $5,500 and rent rose to $15 monthly. The 1920s saw homes averaging $6,300 with rent at $25 a month. During the Great Depression, houses stayed around $6,000 and rent dropped to $18. In the 1940s, a house averaged $7,300 while rent climbed to $27. The 1950s brought homes at $11,000 with rent hitting $42 monthly. By the 1960s, homes averaged $17,000 and rent was $71 a month. The 1970s saw houses costing $25,000 with rent at $108. In the 1980s, homes were $47,000 and rent reached $243. The 1990s brought homes to $79,000 with rent at $447. In the 2000s, houses hit $120,000 and rent climbed to $675. In 2025, the average home skyrocketed to $500,000 with rent at $2,000 a month.
So let's think about this, Tom. We talking against two dichotomies. One of them is the classic route to wealth is ownership, property ownership, and real estate. So if you're on the back end of that and you got the crib where you able to charge somebody $50,000 a year that they'll never see again. See, the thing about owning the crib is you get equity and it's an asset, right? In that regard, it's an asset. But when you're paying rent, when the rent is gone, the rent is gone. You're not paying into anything except for the moment that you live there, that month-to-month situation. And you got some people that's paying that was averages. The average cost, $500,000. The average rent, $2,000. $2,000. Like you said, your check is gone just for you to sleep comfortably. There ain't no alarm system, ain't no
that's
nothing.
Just to get in the house, right?
Just to get in the crib.
Here's the other thing, though, bro. I don't know if you noticed this or not. And I hope the audience really checked that out. We should play that again, right?
Okay.
If you looked at the different decades, mm-hmm. okay, from 1920 to 1930, how much did the house go up?
Oh, was it? It was some thousands. It was a couple thousand.
From 1930 to 1940.
I see what you're saying. Don't start magnifying.
No. It didn't matter. Fact, it stayed with it. Let's play that again. Everyone, I want you guys to watch and see the difference between the cost of owning a home between each decade and then when it jumped.
The cost of housing in every decade. In the 1900s, the average home cost $5,000 and rent was just $12 a month. By the 1910s, homes were $5,500 and rent rose to $15 monthly. The 1920s saw homes averaging $6,300 with rent at $25 a month. During the Great Depression, houses stayed around $6,000 and rent dropped to $18. In the 1940s, a house averaged $7,300 while rent climbed to $27. The 1950s brought homes at $11,000 with rent hitting $42 monthly. By the 1960s, homes averaged $17,000 and rent was $71 a month. The 1970s saw houses costing $25,000 with rent at $108. In the 1980s, homes were $47,000 and rent reached $243. The 1990s brought homes to $79,000 with rent at $447. In the 2000s, houses hit $120,000 and rent climbed to $675. In 2025, the average home skyrocketed to $500,000 with rent at $2,000 a month.
So now, did you see the difference?
Yeah, okay. It's starting to double up on
you. What is that? So think about it for a second. From 1910 mm-hmm. to 1920, it went, and I'm just making it up, it went from $2,000 a house to $3,000 a house.
Yeah.
1930 to 1940, it went from $3,000 a house to $5,500. It still was affordable.
Yeah.
Right? Each decade, the houses only went up $4,000 or $5,000 a year. So it still was affordable for the person to buy a house. Then you went from 1980, where the house was 1970 was $25,000. 1980, it went to $47,000. So it was an $18,000 jump, which is not that bad, okay? Mm-hmm. But then it went from $47,000 to almost to 79, so now it's a $30,000 year jump, okay? Mm-hmm. And then from 30 years later, and then 1990, it went from 79 to 120. So now it's a $40,000 a year, jump, right? And then from 1990, from 2000 to 2025, it went from $120,000 average house to $500,000. That's $380,000. You see my point? It's unaffordable. Prior to then, it was affordable.
Yeah.
Even though, because when it went up, it was marginal. Okay. Right. But then when you make that big leap and then the wages and everything else doesn't make that leap, you can't afford it. That's the issue.
But see, when I was looking at the numbers, I'm looking at the rent number because I'm realizing you're creating more renters the higher the actual price of ownership becomes. So this is more speaking to the people who have to rent based off of the situation.
But the reason they got to rent because they can't afford a house.
Afford a house, correct. Correct.
All right, that's correct. The issue. Correct. Right, those correct. People would have bought homes, okay? Yep. That's the issue. Think about it. They have the money to buy them, okay? But they can't. So let's be fair. You live in a great neighborhood down in outside of Dallas, right?
Yep.
Okay, great neighborhood, right? And then what is the average home down here?
620?
So 620. So think about this. Mm-hmm. So, okay, 620. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, what do you have to put down for that house?
20%. Oh, this math is easy.
So hold on. So 20%, right?
Yeah,
and those are called, and to get those type homes, to get a loan, they call jumbo loans.
Jumbo loan. $500,000. Right? $500,000.
So you got to put 20. No, there's no such, any other, if it's not a jumbo loan, you can put 5%, you can put 8%. But when it gets to that level, you got to put 20, they're jumbo loans. You got to put 20% down. Right? Yep. So 600 times 20%. Yep. How much is that?
Yep. 120,000.
That's 120,000 that you got to put down on the house to be able to buy.
Just,
okay?
Just
think
keys.
About that.
Just for keys.
Just for keys. Who got it? What? How many people got 120 grand? Okay? Yeah. You see my point here?
Yeah.
The average house is 500,000.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you got to put 20%. That means you got to put $100,000 down to buy a house.
Yeah.
That's why people renting. They can't afford it. Who's got 100 grand? Bro, that's my point I'm trying to see. This is what I'm saying. When back in the day, if you were buying a house, if it was 80K, you put 8 grand down, 5 grand.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
And even saving that up was a big deal, to be fair. Yeah. Now you got to save, you got to put 100, 120 grand down. That's a lot of money. Most people can't
The hustle is the rent-a-center factor. So back when I was a kid, we had rent-a-center, right? And I was probably in my young teens when I did the math. I was like, hold on. If we're playing this much a month and we'd have had this thing for 4 years, we done bought this thing 3 times. You know what I'm saying?
You're right. But they got to have the down payment,
right?
Okay.
Right.
If you don't have the down payment, you can't buy the house. Yes, they can afford the monthly note. That's why they're renting. But they don't have the money. They don't have the down payment.
Right.
That's the issue. Most people don't. That's why they rent. You're right. Are they throwing money away? But they don't want to. They would rather buy. Okay? But if let's be fair here. Okay?
Yeah.
Let's be fair. If you're making 80K a year, how long does it take you to save up $100,000?
Oh, shit.
Can you save $100,000?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You see my point here?
Yeah.
It's unaffordable. Right?
Yeah.
It's unaffordable. Yeah. Now, unless you work somewhere where you're in sales and you get commission, or you work in a company, you get a bonus, and then you use your bonus money for that. That's most people, that's where it happens. But to save up 120 grand to put down on a house, are you fucking kidding me? Most people can't do that. It just can't happen. That's honest. That it ain't got nothing to do with them, you know, being frivolous or they just wasting their money or this. They just can't do it.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Just to be fair, what's the average 401k? Do you know?
No, I don't. Yeah.
The average 401k was it 120, 200,000, depending on how old somebody is. All right.
Okay.
So think about that for a second. If that's the average 401k for most people, then saving 100,000. Cash.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Plus, didn't we just do a show not too long ago where they said you had to have 10 times your salary?
10 times for the retirement. Okay? For retirement.
But that's for retirement. So if you're going to have retirement. 10 times for how are you going to have that money to buy a house, bro? Come on, man.
But you know what's happening, Tony? Is that, and just like, for example, in my neighborhood, It's a lot. So you can get houses now with multi-generation suites or a spot for your people to come, because previous generations could survive on one income. The dad had a job. The mom stayed at home, made the bacon, you know, eggs, breakfast, whoop-de-woo, whatever. And then the dad just brought in the money. You can't do this on one income anymore. No. You need the grandparents to move in. You need... It's got to be multi. Buddy. Y'all got to gang up on this. Y'all got to mob action.
But that's why you see people from Korea, Jamaica. Yeah. They come in, you know, Peru. They got 30 people in a house.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
Like a clown car in this month.
All right. And everybody's like, I can't believe they ain't dumb.
Yeah.
Because they pooling their money together.
They pooling the resources. Okay? Absolutely.
But that is a fact, though, man. So hold on. I want to go back to Brills, because he always got to say some smart shit, right? He says if the American comfortable dream is unaffordable and unattainable, that means it's gone, right? Right? Well, I mean, that's what we're saying, though, bro. Right? It's unaffordable, right? It's gone. Yeah. It didn't disappear, okay? It's the idea is still there, okay? The idea. Think about it for a second, bro. Let's just be fair, okay? Mm-hmm. And again, I don't know what you told your daughter or whatever the case may be, right? Mm-hmm. But most kids, right, whatever they want to do, they come out of college, they want to start their own business, or they want to get a nice job. What do they say they want to do?
I don't know what most kids, I don't know what kids are nowadays.
Let me just say it this way. Do they at some point, would they want to buy their own home?
It's decreasing, but yes, that should be the conversation.
I'm not saying they're going to buy, but a condo, something.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's something, yeah. Right? Yeah. Hold on. So what I'm hearing is because the way you stuttering, are they saying they think they're going to rent the rest of their lives?
So I did a thesis on this, Tony, where these younger generations have been disenchanted with the concept because these old people losing their cribs and the mortgage crisis, the subprime mortgage situation and all that. So they like, to hell with it. I'll just either stay with you, mom and dad, or I'll just rent me something because I can't count on.
Yeah, but see, here's again.
Home ownership is on a decline significantly.
Yeah, so, but here's the thing though, bro. I don't think, and again, I don't, at least I'm talking to my daughters. They ain't thinking about living with me forever, living with me and their mother forever. Okay, so that you can forget about that. Okay. Number two, I don't think, not to be fair, they've chatted about having their own, you know, moving away, getting their own stuff, right? I don't think that everybody's just looking to rent shit forever. Okay, maybe you start off that way, right? That makes sense, right?
Okay.
But you're gonna rent forever? You just got finished sitting here saying you're just giving money away.
That's correct.
Right? You know, from a tax standpoint, you have nothing.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
So you're giving everything away.
That's correct.
Right? And so you're gonna tell me you're gonna rent. Remember what was that flick? What was the flick, my man? Not Wyatt Earp, but it was based on Wyatt Earp.
Yellowstone. Tombstone.
Tombstone, yeah. Right? When Doc Holliday said, I'll be your Huckleberry.
Your Huckleberry,
right?
Remember that? Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So remember the babe that the babe that he fell in love with, whatever her name is. And she said she wanted to go around and live on room service.
Okay.
You remember that part of the movie when she was like, I remember this shit, right? Yeah, she said she wanted to live on room service. Most people ain't thinking that. All right. Okay. So in other words, she's like, look, I don't want to be tied down to anything. I just want to get up and live from hotel to hotel and just on room service. Right. Most people ain't thinking that. OK, just to be fair, some people at some point, even if it's a dream, I love to have a house on the beach, or I love to do this. They have something where they want to own something. OK, I'm just telling you flat out.
The reason why I'm laughing is your girls can have these ideas, but they've become accustomed to a way of life, Tone. And unless you give them the bread to put down, you just told us.
No, you gotta have something up front. No. That's not my point. My point is the dream. The point I'm making is the dream. I'm going by what Brills is saying, right?
He's saying,
so at the end of the day, is the dream gone? Right?
Yeah.
Since it's on the table, that means it's gone, right? I'm saying people still dreaming it. They're still thinking of it like, hey, I would love to have. Buddy, come on, man. You know how many young people right now getting married? Okay, I know. So what? They're thinking, oh, we're gonna rent forever? They're dreaming. They're thinking, oh, we're gonna have a baby or two, and we're gonna do this, and we're gonna do that, and the whole nine yards, right? So everybody's still dreaming, okay? But it's unattainable unless you make big money, okay? Yep. Unless you make big money, right? Yep. But they're not dreaming. I'm gonna live with my mother forever.
Hey, you know what they not, but I think that come for the kids that I mentor and the young folks that I talk to, it's right now it's not the time. And what you realize is it never becomes the time because this train is moving. So even when you know that you want more than your parents, you feel too far behind them because Chris, entry point.
Chris, stop a second.
Go ahead.
Come on, man, stop. So how did you get to where you are right now?
Oh, yeah, we're hard working, figured the timing.
No. Stop. Everybody go ahead, works go hard. Ahead, so the hard work is, nobody's going to just, but how did you get there? What was you thinking? Tell me, what was you thinking?
Oh, I figured it was going to be but these kids ain't built for the sacrifices,
buddy, wait
Tony.
Wait a minute, stop. Let's don't break, buddy, we're talking two different things here. Okay, I'm talking dreaming, okay? Yep. So it's called the American dream.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
We ain't say the American hard work. Okay.
Okay.
So at the end of the day, the dream is still there. Okay. People still dream. Okay. About, hey, I like to get their work ethic and all that type stuff. That's a separate conversation. I'm not even knocking that. Okay. I'm just saying you had a dream, correct?
Yep. Yep.
Okay. I had a dream. Most people have dreams. Okay. They ain't dreaming that they're going to rent from their parents or they're going to live. That's my point here. Regardless if they do it or not, their dream is I'm going to work. I'm going to get a job. I'm going to make good money. I'm going to buy me a nice car. I'm going to get me a crib. They're thinking that right now. They may not attain that for whatever reason. They may work hard and just can't afford it. Okay. All I'm saying is they're dreaming it. That's the point, okay? And I'm saying the dream has not disappeared. It's not like the dream is gone. The dream is still there. It's just unattainable. It's unaffordable. That's why people are renting. That's why that's my position. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, and I think that we are, from a community perspective, we're not teaching ownership because of the entry level. So in the concept of your first place that you lived in, when you got the military, you lived in a place, right?
I live in an apartment. Yeah.
An apartment. Would your daughters live there? Could you see them living in that apartment comfortably?
Yeah, like it was a nice apartment. Yeah, it was
a nice apartment. Oh, congratulations for you, sir.
Congratulations living in the slums. It was I lived above my means, okay, to be fair. So it was a nice. That's what I'm trying to tell you about the dream, motherfucker.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying? All I'm trying to do. So, look, my daughters are bougie because their mother and father are bougie.
Right.
So I didn't live my mother was bougie. So we just didn't live anywhere.
Okay.
Right?
Now, okay.
We couldn't afford this shit.
Okay.
But we lived in post on me, but we just didn't, live in no one bedroom attic apartment.
Right.
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 I lived in a nice spot. Every place I lived, it was a nice spot.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So what I'm trying to say is, man, is that the dream, people still dream, in my opinion.
Okay.
I could be wrong. I could be totally wrong. I think I just don't think it's attainable. Okay. I talked to my daughter and we chatted about this before because she's like, oh, I would like, she's like, I love to get an apartment in New York City and this and that. So I'm sitting here. Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, okay, let's just do the math here.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Bill Cosby.
It's just, buddy,
you had to pull out the
when you do the
monopoly
math,
money.
Exactly. When you do the math, the math don't lie.
That's right.
Okay. So I'm like, you want to live there? How much money you got to make? She's like, 100 grand. I said, let's do the math. If the apartment is 5 grand a month times 12, how much is that? That's $60,000. Right. How much you going to get of 100,000 after taxes? 66,000, maybe 70, depending, right? You ain't got shit left. You see my point? So then she was like, oh, shit. I was like, so what you got to make? I got to make at least 200,000. At least. You see my point? So that's what I'm trying to say, buddy. People still dream. It's just not it's not affordable. It's not attainable unless your ass get a job or you got a career where you making big ass money. And even then, okay, that's my point.
But what they realizing is there is no get a job in your 20s making big ass money. That just ain't that is not happening. You must learn. They are not buddy, allowing for that.
Wait a minute, hold on.
So you coming out the gate behind.
So you're 100%. So, buddy, you're 100%. Okay. But, again, we're talking two different things here. I'm talking dream. Okay? You're talking reality. and actually, we both talking reality, right?
I'm saying
people still dream. Okay?
Right.
And then there's a reality, right?
Right.
That's the point here. Okay? So at the end of the day, you're right. But when we talk about the American dream, I'm not saying the people still don't dream of the American dream. They still think they still dream that. But it ain't but based on not what I'm saying, just what the facts are.
Yeah.
Okay, what the numbers show. In my
experience, it's hard for people to start to see past their circumstances. You talk to enough people where it's tough for them to jettison themselves beyond their circumstances. But Let me move into this because we got some more visuals for you.
Yep.
So we're going to go into the engagement moment for you guys and say that this episode is brought to you by the age in which you realize adulthood was more expensive than you expected. Like Tony said, you did the math, you pulled out the conversation with Theo, figure out when that was, and right when you realized, damn, this ain't as easy as I thought it would. They made it look easier. Maybe your people didn't complain about, eggs and bread and cereal and vacations, but you got to a point where you realize, man, I got to get a room, four roommates in this two-bedroom, that kind of thing.
But that's real. So hold on, we got to play some of these because these are some good comments here.
You got it.
So let's back up a little bit here because I just want to make sure I get everybody right. Okay. So Hollow Point says, supply and demand. The houses are 500K is because people are buying them and the rich are making money off them. Yep. And some of that. Right. But just also just cost of living, though. Right. But yes, is people buying them and flipping them and tearing down small houses to make bigger out? Absolutely. Right. And then Brill says kids want to be content creators on TikTok. some of them make big money. Right. All right.
They do. Some of them.
Hollow Point says kids want a deluxe apartment in the sky.
In the sky, on the east side.
Yeah, look,
that's what Tony's daughter wanted. She wanted a house on the east side.
Again, when I was a kid, I used to think I wanted a deluxe apartment on the sky. I'm dreaming. Right. Reg says separation of the classes is happening. Bitcoin, EFT, fraud, and dreaming in an economy that will not survive your current economic situation, hence the American dream. Absolutely, right? So again, we're saying two different things, right? We're saying the American dream is a dream, and then we're saying what the reality is, right? Yeah. And there's a reality. Sal, good Sal always looks at the data. He said the 401k is 148,000 average.
So think about it.
That's the average. So now you want somebody to put $120,000 cash down on a house? Get buddy.
Yeah.
Brills comes back and says the definition, what does he say here? The definition of comfort has changed. It wasn't luxurious vacations, five-star restaurants, and smart homes. No, you're right. Look. A vacation was going to the beach, okay? Yeah. It wasn't about, to your point, that's not even the point. Again, most people wasn't going to the Ritz-Carlton and this and that, but they was able to at least go somewhere, all right? They would get a timeshare. They would do something. Gail talks about her family. So every year they used to go up to, I don't know if it was Maine and New Hampshire, and they would go to the beach up there, right? So, but that was a vacation. That was their vacation, right? So, no. And then Brill says, my kids wouldn't live in my first place. They don't even know how to kill roaches, right? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I'm trying to tell you. it wouldn't even, all right? And then what we got here, who is this? Sydney Reed. All right, so must be a relative. When people realize it's unattainable, they stop dreaming, in my opinion. Okay, that's fair. Yeah. That could be fair, right? That could be fair. I just think... When you stop dreaming, you die. Okay. Because at the end of the day, your situation, you don't know. But you're right. Some people, and check this out. We have
because you know what you it's an environmental thing. It's a nature thing. It's what you're around, what you absorb.
When
you're
around positive people, if you're around positive people, you're gonna keep dreaming. But if you're around a bunch of people saying then you're gonna flat out. And then you, in my opinion, you're dead. Because at the end of the day, without hope and dreams, you have nothing.
Yeah.
Okay. And so that's something we should have. Hold on, let me just finish these last couple and then we'll do this. Brill says 17.
Oh, that's when he realized that it was too expensive for him to live like he wanted to.
Okay. So you're a better man than me, right? Yeah,
you ain't lying. You ain't lying.
And then Hollow Point, exactly, Sydney, the dream dies, reality sets in. But you still got a dream, though. All right, so let's play the next clip.
The American dream. A house in the suburbs, a white picket fence, 2.5 kids, a dog, and enough disposable income to save for retirement and go on a couple vacations a year. Hate to break it to you, but statistically speaking, you'll never be able to afford the American dream. At least, not the way things are now. You know, with all the... Not great. But this notion of the American dream is persistent. A lot of people believe that it's something that still exists today.
The American dream.
The American dream.
American dream.
The American dream.
Where did this mythology come from, and why is it so hard to shake? Not a single state in the country where a married couple making $100,000 a year can afford the American dream. That's 2 adults, 2 kids, a pet, owning a home, and having some money left over to save for the future. It is impossible. All 50 states require more than $100,000 a year for what was once considered the baseline middle-class standard of living, and most of them require significantly more. In Massachusetts, for example, you'd need to make over $240,000 a year. Even in the least expensive state, Mississippi, you still need to make $109,000 a year. To make matters worse, the median income in all 50 states is well below the American dream threshold, with the median earner in states like California and Hawaii making barely half the required amount. And there's something that bothers me about stats like these. These figures always cite the median income, which, fine, that's a valid way to give a ballpark number. But it leaves out the fact that half of the people in every state don't even come close to the cited figure. If the median earner makes half of what they need to achieve the American dream, what about the people who make half of that? If people making $150,000 a year can't afford to have both a home and children, what hope does everyone else have?
And there you have it.
Buddy, see, flat out, right? And again, just going back to some of the comments, right? When we're talking about the American dream, we wasn't talking about being on a yacht, all right? Or going to Vegas. And the American dream is just a house, couple kids, a dog, cat, and going on vacation and save some money. That's it. That's it.
Yeah.
And right now, it's unaffordable, okay?
Yeah.
And even in Mississippi.
Mississippi. I used to live there. Trust me.
Mississippi ain't shit there. Your ass. Think about it. You got to make 6 figures in Mississippi. Right? Yeah. Anybody, it's just really bad, man. And it ain't going to get any easier. Unless, I put it this way, it can. There has to be an economic collapse. All right? Flat out. I'm just being straight with you. This shit has to be reset. Okay,
something has to happen. Absolutely.
Where it just the shit just like 1929, all right, and then shit just gets wiped out, and then the shit is reset. Then in that situation, but the way it's going now, it ain't gonna happen. It ain't gonna happen.
And so you know, and as we land the plane, you know, people don't necessarily want to be rich anymore.
Hold on, bro.
Many just want to stop feeling behind.
Hollow Point says, "All I need is that half kid to get my American dream." Right?
Oh man, come on, that's ridiculous. Listen, man. Listen, hey, you know what, we all in the
half
same
kids.
Boat.
Always say, "What's the half?" Right?
You know, right. Kids, right. I'll take the half one. I'll take the half one, but. But what we realize is, you know, when you look at the math, either the figures or the sentiment needs to be reconstructed, needs to be adjusted, because, you know, we are collectively suffering from the concept or the idea of the American dream. So when we talk about the failure or the disappearing of the American dream, I think it just needs a makeover. I think it needs to be redefined or reestablished because it's not for the average person or for the faint of heart.
Not today.
You know what I'm saying?
Not today.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Succotash ain't the only thing that's suffering, right?
No, it ain't gonna happen. So, to your point, and an excellent point, right? Is that, you know, I go up and visit my friend up in he lives outside of Boston, right? Mm-hmm. And we go walking, you know, throughout his neighborhood, me, him, and his wife. And mm-hmm. they show me all these. So this neighborhood, Burlington, Massachusetts, used to be a lot of starter homes. You remember what starter homes were, right?
Mm-hmm.
Starter homes were homes where people that you first buy your first house. Might be a small little bungalow, whatever the case may be. Those were starter homes, right? Where people can first get into the housing game, and then eventually you start making some money, and then you get some equity in your house, and then you can sell it, and then get a bigger home, right? Blah, 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 blah. Well, I think somebody, I think it was Hollow Point, or somebody made this point where they was like, they're buying these houses, right? Mm-hmm. So they're buying all these starter homes, tearing mm-hmm. them down, and mm-hmm. putting big-ass million-dollar homes there. Where now, so yeah, his property value, everybody's property value is going up. But at the end of the day, there's no starter homes for nobody, you know, young family, anybody like that who just started working, this and that, where they buy their first house. That's gone. Yeah. Now the first house is $1 million.
Yeah, no training wheels no more.
None, buddy. And that's the point that we're trying to make when we say it's unaffordable.
Right. So, you know, the reality of it is the American dream it doesn't look the way it looked in the 1970s. But purpose, peace, family, and fulfillment are still possible. But you gotta be patient. You got to figure it out. Pick your lanes, right? You got to have faith like Biggie Pac and George Michaels. The question is whether we're willing to redefine success before frustration redefines us. And that's what Reg was talking about. Like, it gets frustrating when you think, damn, I can't get over the hump. So we want to thank y'all for joining us tonight on BEP Live. Continue the conversation with us at A Black Exec across all your platforms. Thank y'all for chiming in, saying what you need to say. Thanks, Reg. Thanks, Open Bills. Thanks, Sal, Hollow Points, Sydney. Everybody that has something to say, we appreciate that. I want to make sure that y'all keep in with us and keep checking up on us.
Absolutely. And look, guys, before we wrap, remember, A Black Executive Perspective podcast is more than just one podcast. Growing network of shows, so make sure you check out all of our shows of Need to Know with Dr. Nasinga Burden, Pull Up, Speak Up, A Mixed Executive Perspective hosted by Grace Food and Corey. Different shows, different perspectives, one mission, making uncomfortable conversations comfortable.
And we take pride in our call to action, which is Less L-E-S-S. The L stands for learn, educate yourself on cultural, historical, and racial nuances.
And after you learn, you have to learn the E, which stands for empathy. Now, since you've learned, now you can be more empathetic to your friends and colleagues because you can put yourself in their shoes.
And the first S stands for share. Share your insights. Don't hide it, divide it. We do this every week, Tuesday, live with y'all. Y'all share with us, we share with you.
Absolutely. And the final S stands for stop. We want everyone to stop discrimination as it walks in your path. So easy. If somebody says something at the Sunday dinner table that's inappropriate, instead of sitting there giggling, laughing, you say, hey, guess what? We don't believe that. We don't say that. And you stop it right there. So if everyone on here and throughout the world can incorporate less, L-E-S-S, we'll build a more fair, more understanding world. And we all will see the change that we want to see because less will become more.
All right. Thank you, guys. We're going to close out with you. Make sure you like, comment, subscribe. Go to www.execpodcastacademy.com if you want to learn how to get behind the mic and do this and understand things. But until next Tuesday, 8 p.m. Eastern, tell a friend to tell a friend, and we'll see you then.
Take care, guys. Have a good one.